Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prosper Spotlight. I got an exciting show for you today. We're going to do a show on AI, artificial intelligence, and if we get to it, transhumanism. Now, let me read a couple of verses and then we'll get Doc in here. I'm in Revelation 13, beginning in verse 15 and 16. Is that right, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Does that sound like artificial intelligence to you? Does that sound like some kind of computerized program? Yeah. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And we'll stop right there. And artificial intelligence, the mark of the beast, all interconnected here, transhumanism. We'll get to that. We're gonna discuss this important topic that has a lot to do with the end times, and we are there right now. And we'll be back 30 seconds. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our program today of artificial. And we're going to get at, I mean, I don't know. There's some crazy stuff here. And we did an update a while ago, Doc. Stuff was coming to me. I mean, this isn't my forte, but I do understand prophecy. I'm just not real educated in the artificial intelligence, transhuman. It's not been my big thing. But I told Doc we got to get into some of this because it's certainly here.
It is here.
I'm not, the fact that I'm not too good at this doesn't mean I don't believe it.
Oh no,
I certainly do, and I see it, and we're all part of it every day. We're all on our phones and our computers and our headsets, and
life is controlled by
our cars are computerized. Everything, it's all happening. And you go to the hospital, you get checked in. I mean, there's
everything's
computerized and monitors, and we are there. Let me, I wanted to start with some basics, Doc, before I turn you loose, because you got some great slides to give us. But I wanted to just very simply get some definitions out here. And I think you probably got some definitions your slide. But I looked up artificial intelligence. What is artificial intelligence? What do people mean by that? And here's what it says here. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is a set of technologies that enable computers to perform a variety of advanced functions, including the ability to see, understand, and translate spoken and written language, analyze data, make recommendations, and on it goes.
Yeah.
That sum it up pretty well
pretty
for
well.
You?
Yeah.
Transhumanism. We'll see if we
don't get weighed down. It we might have to do two sessions like we did last time. But
well, let me. I also on my list here. I like to see some examples that we see in the Bible that we think are connected to this, and I think we just read a passage.
Yes,
that's the first passage I think of that makes me think, because you got the image of the beast that's going to speak. This all sounds like AI and trans.
It sounds like sci-fi in a sense from a late in the past, but today it's an understandable thing because robots and these are things that are connected with intelligence that, other than they haven't been able to refine it to a perfect body, but they're probably not getting too far from it. I mean, soft tissue sensitivity. Things that are human that are already available. So I can imagine. But let me up front make sure everybody understands. I am convinced the Antichrist that you've read about will be a man.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a robot. It's going to be a man.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that man cannot be connected and have access to a system that's worldwide.
And we know that because for one proof is this. The Antichrist and the false prophet are the first two people that go to the lake of fire.
Yes.
They're human.
They are human.
So that settles that question.
Should
right
be.
There.
For me, it's been settled. It is a man.
Yeah.
But we are now living in some times that are very interesting. And if she'll put the first slide up there, we'll get started on this.
The only other thing I wanted to bring out, and you may have this, mm-hmm. here is wisdom. This is verse 18, Revelation. This is the Mark of the Beast chapter.
Yeah.
He causes in verse 17, no man can buy or sell unless he has this number, this chip or whatever it's going to be. I think we understand it in our generation better than any other generation. But then he says in verse 18, here's wisdom. So in other words, hey, you that have some wisdom, look at this. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I talked to you about this at breakfast this morning. Isn't the World Wide Web, www, that connects all web pages?
The sixth letter of both the Greek and the Hebrew alphabet is W. World Wide Web. That may be a coincidence to us, but that may not even be what this does, but that's an interesting thought. And I presented that for at least 12, 15
AI
years.
And transhumanism has one thing in common.
Yes.
The internet, as we call it.
Absolutely.
Whatever that is.
They call it the internet of all things. But put that slide back up again there. And let me, technology has become the end time digital god. Probably 10, 12 years ago, Wilfred Hahn, I believe he's over, not in England, Scotland, somewhere over there, Ireland, wrote a book. And I got his book at least 12 years ago, probably. And it was The End Time Digital God. He was way ahead on all of this. And because here's what it can do. It's omniscient. You all you got to do is Google. There's your answer.
Yeah.
There's not a question you can't answer. Now, there are some things you can trick it with, but it's soon, if not already past that point. Remember when you first had a cell phone and you could say Siri such and such, and if it was a silly thing, it was like, it doesn't compute, it didn't, you know. But then it got to where Siri would play games with you.
Yeah.
And so it's grown. So it's omniscient in knowing everything, and it's omnipresent. It's available 24/7 all over the world at the same time. And we'll get to it later. With Elon Musk and SpaceX and the system that he has, this is going to be anywhere, period. In the middle of the ocean that you used to travel in a boat, now you have internet connection anywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, and then thirdly, it is almost, and I probably should underline that, it is almost omnipotent. I say almost because God alone is all power. But this thing has become the power that is controlling all of human life. You can't get in your vehicle without technology. You can't even get a Coke or a Dr. Pepper at McDonald's if the computer isn't working. And so one of the things about it, it sees itself as the next step of evolution. And so, folks, here's what we need to understand. You can take that one down if you want. Here's what we need to understand. All of this in technology for artificial intelligence is eventually used as evolutionary tool. All of these people that involved, Elon Musk, you name it, all of them are hardcore evolutionists. And they really do believe that they are on the cutting edge of an era of evolution that is going to bring humanity into 2.0. They're not creationists. They don't see the God of the Bible. They don't see that God created all things.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that evolution has brought us to where we are and that they are at the edge of being used in evolution to move us on to the next level. Dangerous, but that's where we are. And put up that next slide, if you would, because you need to understand three levels of artificial intelligence.
And isn't it just to add something there? Doesn't that make the leaders of this? They're bringing it in. They'll do anything they have to.
They think that they literally are more evolved than you or I.
They're bringing in the great utopia.
They are bringing it in. They honestly, if you don't understand how evolutionary thought works, you need to do a little research on it and you'll understand. But in evolution, there's always a phase in their thought where something goes click to the next.
Yeah.
To the next. And they believe that because they're involved in all of this, that they are more evolved and smarter than you are. So, first of all, artificial intelligence is something we use all the time. It's used to perform something within a narrow parameter. In other words, its guidelines are already there. And so you can program it. And, some of you probably have in your house an Alexa box, and you can tell Alexa, turn your light on, turn your lights off, or whatever. But Alexa isn't thinking for itself, supposedly. It's programmed to do what in a parameter. So that's just basically what art, and it's the use of technology that really is beneficial. Through this, doctors are now able to use nanotechnology, which is another form we'll get to hopefully later. But now they're able to use a camera and they're able to go in orthoscopically, and they can go in and do surgery on the inside with just a little bitty incision. Where they used to, they have to cut you open and 3 weeks later, maybe you was able to get out of bed.
Yeah.
All of this. So artificial intelligence, as I said, it's a tool and it can be used good or bad.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that thing I've seen. It's kind of funny. Husband and wife sitting at the table, and they're talking. Yeah, them conspiracy people. They think that the government can hear everything we say. And the husband laughed, and the wife laughed, and Alexa laughed,
yeah,
and Siri laughed.
Yeah, exactly.
And it really is that way.
It is. That's where we are. So look at the next slide that we have. And I'll try to go a little faster here. Most of these slides are from two different presentations that I teach on the road to Antichrist kingdom and artificial intelligence in the Antichrist kingdom. So that's why some of them look a little different. I pulled these out of some of my teaching. So on this one, we're looking at artificial general intelligence. This is the next phase. And it's often called strong intelligence. And again, it is evolution is just simply the movement forward, the evolving of something. And so here's what's happening as artificial intelligence evolves further. It'll have the ability to think and make decisions based on the information that it's received. Some of you probably, and we joked about it earlier, but people being able to take ideas, put it in the Grok program or chat, GTV, and all of these artificial intelligent programs, and it'll write your essay for it.
Yeah,
this is where it's at. It can think for itself, but it only thinks for itself because it's based on algorithms without emotions.
Yeah, it's going to the World Wide Web.
Yep.
It's just like if you Google something. What the computer's doing is it's going to the World Wide Web, all over the world,
yep,
and it's finding those keywords and things, and it's putting it all together.
Pulling it together.
And there it is, instantaneously.
Yep. And so, but it doesn't have any emotions to it. And put the next one up. And this is where we are almost at, if not already.
Super intelligence.
Artificial superintelligence, it's where it evolves beyond human guidance or the dependence of humanity.
Wow.
And to be able to compute beyond the ability of the human brain. Well, already we know that artificial intelligence can gather information through the web out here, gather information anywhere, anything that's been digitized, a picture, words, books, whatever that's been digitized. It doesn't matter what language it is. It doesn't matter where it is in the world. It can gather that information together. But now, already, you, with your own brain, to be able to research all of this out would maybe take you days. Some of the reports have said that the quantum computers using artificial intelligence is now able to solve problems that would take human brain years,
yeah,
even thousands of years to accomplish, and do it in no matter of 2 or 3 minutes. And so what's they're fearful of is that this ability will be able to move outside of human control and write its own binary code and develop its own world.
And now we're into the Star Trek and sci-fi movies, yes, that we've grown up with, where the technology takes over, right, and you can't shut it off.
Exactly.
And Elon Musk talked about that a few years ago at the beginning.
They are fearful, but here's the thing. All of these people that are in these fields, first of all, as I've said, they're evolutionary in their thought, and they are all in business. They all want to make as much money as they can make, whether, I don't know how you could spend $1 billion, let alone 1, 2, or 3, or 100. And so they see and are fearful about it, but I can't restrain myself because he's going to get ahead of me. Yeah. And this one says, well, I can't just draw back from this because he's going to get ahead of me. I got to be number one. And the devil is using all of this, Dan, to move humanity to the place where eventually in the middle of the tribulation, as we read a while ago, a man connected to all of this is going to be able to literally run the world in that sense. Put up the next slide.
And while she's doing that, let's just take a moment and talk about our program here. We are viewer supported, and we are dependent upon you, the listener, to, you know, if God speaks to your heart and you say, man, I'd like to support these guys. I'd like to get them out there more. I'd like to get them on some more networks on television. And we've got people who don't watch TV. They watch us on YouTube. And they give us money because they believe in us and they want us out there. Maybe God's speaking to you today.
Amen.
You can get a hold of us. You can go to the 800 number, 555-888-505-SPOT. It comes up every now and then on the screen back there. You can go to the website and go to the and there's donate buttons there, or you can contact us there and email. If you'd like to talk to me or Doc, I'm happy to call you and tell you what we're all about, what we believe in, and where we stand and where we're headed from here. And but we need your help to stay on the air. So if you'd like to be a part of that, contact us. Doc,
yeah,
go ahead.
Before we get into that, my little red radio that we send out to the rest of the world, if you'd like to check that out.
Yep.
And be able to send the language to remote areas of the world, and for $25 bucks.
So, boy, we've had a lot of people, and that money does not go to us. If you'd like that, you go to the website, click on Doc's Bookstore, and you'll see the radio there.
It's a great missionary outreach.
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Well, back at number five here, Revelation in verse 13, 17 and verse 13, that no man might buy or sell except they got the mark. And the second phrase there is the question is this: how can the mark system provide total control over Earth's population, or at least that which is under the control of the Antichrist? How's that going to happen? And how can the currency of the world be under the surveillance and be evaluated by the value system of the time, which we already see a social credit system in there? And so how can all of this happen? No man just with his own mind, and no man with all of his army could do that.
No way to know.
But with technology and artificial intelligence, it can happen. So put up the next slide. We'll go quickly because I want to see the connection between all of this and how it can work with transhumanism. And so what we find is that out in space right now, as of May 25, there's 9,800 active satellites that are in low altitude orbit over the Earth. That's amazing.
That is. That's mind-boggling.
And if you counted all the inactive and the dead satellites, because most of them only have a lifespan, maybe 5-6 years, and you put it all together, out in outer space, the biggest, as size of a baseball and bigger, are 27,000 trackable pieces.
Huh. That sounds dangerous for somebody flying up there.
Yeah. Put up the next slide. And this is Elon Musk network. SpaceX, Starlink. Matter of fact, just recently, Iran shut off all the internet for all of their population.
Yeah.
So he activated Starlink so that anybody that had a Starlink connection phone or program, they could still have internet because you can't turn it off. He's the boss.
Yeah.
And here's what he has in mind. He wants to put up 42,000 in the space. And as of May of this year, he has 7,578 Starlink satellites. Over three-fourths, almost 80% of all of the satellites that are active in lower altitude belong to Elon Musk. One man.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's Antichrist. Don't get me wrong. I'm just showing you that the technology and now with the satellite system, the ability for you can go out at Google, and I went out there a few years ago and went into this room, and you could have 3 10-foot screens in front of you. And this was probably 8 or 10 years ago. And I put in my zip code, and then I put in my address of my farm. I'm in California. And it zeroed in, and I could see my grandchildren and my wife's car in the parking lot at our farm. This was 8 or 10 years ago. So this network and system's already out there. Put up the next slide there. And what they are really wanting to do, and you've already been talking about, transhumanism. They are working on how to blend this, and so they're starting. Like everything does, everything starts with good intentions. If I can find a way for a man who got hurt in war to once again use his arm, or I find somebody that has a problem physically, and if I could find a chip that I could put in that neural link spot in that brain, I could augment and offset that biological problem. All of this starts with good intentions. And now they already have a chip where a lady can, instead of having to take a hormone a blocker for getting pregnant, now they can give you a chip that lasts for about 13 years without having to take any pills. The list goes on and on of the things you talked about at breakfast, the ability to maybe give people sight again.
Yeah, there was a star. It was called Eyes.
Yes.
It's probably still out there. They had invented this system. Somehow, a guy who couldn't see. They didn't fix the eye. What they did is they went into the nerve, just like a feed from a camera.
They bypassed where the short was.
Yeah.
And these things, right now, Google has glasses. I mean, you've probably seen people. Some of you maybe have played in some of these virtual reality games. You put this thing on here and that computer system, and I'm here to tell you, it will take your breath away.
It's like you're somewhere
else. It's like you're right there, and you're walking, and man, the next thing you know, you've stepped out of an elevator that doesn't have a floor on it, and you lose your breath. And you forget that you're actually looking at an augmented false reality, but it's real. They are now working. I wish I had time, but I could show you some slides that I have where the size of a postage stamp can be put on the skin. It's translucent. You don't even see it. The wires are nanotechnology that are 1/3,000th of a thickness. It's thinner. It's thinner than a hair on your head. And this thing can... It operates solar or off the energy of your body.
Hmm.
It's amazing. Camera, the whole thing. All of this is already there.
So let's narrow this down in the 3 minutes we got left.
Oh, my.
How would this fit the Antichrist system?
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is they're going to have some sort of ships or something which gives them access to information.
I'm sure that companies like SpaceX and others are probably on the cutting edge right now of being able to make that neural link, and that's what they call it, between the brain and the contact artificial intelligence through technology.
A guy could be sitting on a stage, and you could ask him to explain thermonuclear energy. He doesn't have to know it, but the chip is connected to the web, and he can start spouting it off.
He's got it.
That's a simple version of what I'm thinking, but...
Look at that next slide. You're exactly right. I don't know, we're probably running out of time, but this is something, you can look it up for yourself. This is where all of this started. It's an intellectual and cultural movement supporting the use of science and technology to improve human mental and physical characteristics and capability. That's their goal. It's always good. Look at the next slide. Because time's going to run out on us here. I'm pretty good at running out of time, aren't we? There are 10 things that are the end goals of it. And they're all for the purpose of, you've been talking about it, transhumanism. It's genetic engineering. Why worry about it? I can short circuit that function in your body with a chip.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. And it's nanotechnology. That's unbelievable things that's how something the size of a spider in the room can actually hear and see and 1,000 miles away. It's on the computer screen. Bionic implants, we're familiar with that. And cognitive enhancement, I need one of those. And then artificial intelligence itself. And then life extension. They're making claims that in the future, they'll be able, through all of this, you'll be able to live a couple of hundred years. And then technology singularity. That means at some point, technology will become complete and full and in control. And then virtual reality won't be out here, but it'll be on the inside. And then mind uploading. They think that you can upload your mind and you could have that put over in another body, and you're still alive again.
Ooh.
I'm here to tell you, they don't realize you're a soul, and there's a separation between your mental understanding and who you are. And lastly, they want you to have space colonization. These are evolutionists who do not understand that man was made to live on the Earth.
Well, folks, this is, for some of you, this is some deep stuff that maybe you haven't thought of before. And it is deep, and it is mind-boggling, but it is true, and it is happening, a lot of these things. We'll try to do some more on this in another show coming up, but for now, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide, on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word
of God. That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for
you. Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Hey, everybody. Sal, this thing about redemption. Have you ever wondered? You ever heard somebody say that in the Old Testament they were saved different? Have you ever heard people talk about during the tribulation people are saved different? We're going to deal with that today. I wrote a brand new book. It's called Redemption Through the Ages, Salvation from Genesis to Revelation. I think you're going to be enlightened today, and we're going to talk about this thing about salvation throughout the Bible. I think you're going to be helped, so stay tuned. Hey, everybody. Glad to have you today on board. Doc is with me, and I'm Brother Goodwin. And, hey, are you saved today? Are you living in the age of grace? What age did Moses live in? What age did Samuel live in? Hey, what about those left behind after the rapture? How do they get saved? We're going to talk about all that in today's program. Doc, there's a big movement out there. It's been going on for a long time. It's been longer than I've been alive, but I mean, it really is heated up now. Boy, in the last 30 years, I've been right at the forefront of this thing. I was involved in this in Bible college, Doc, in the 80s. I was fighting against this. It's what I call dispensational salvation.
Well, that's probably the best term from their standpoint.
Yeah, and there's some that believe there's 8 ways to heaven, depending on where you're born, and about 6 of them, and this is in the book, the new book, 6 of those ways are in the New Testament alone. Now, that's just unbelievable.
And I'm looking forward to reading your book, because I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and it's, for one thing, he says John the Baptist had one way to heaven.
Oh,
Peter comes along,
and
it changed a little bit. And so Peter's way to heaven and John the Baptist's way to heaven's different. Then Paul comes. You've heard him talk about we're under the Pauline epistles.
According to Pauline, yeah.
Yeah, and
they exclude the rest of
As far as salvation goes, the Pauline epistles are for
the
us.
Church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is there's a verse in the Bible that talks about Peter and Paul agreeing.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. I don't know about Mary, but Peter and Paul agreed. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, this thing about salvation, what's the big deal? As long as you believe right in the church age, isn't that good enough? I don't think so, because God's a God of order. There's confusion here.
That's right.
And we got to be right about
this. If I didn't need any other thing, that one verse would be enough for me.
Yeah. And how about this, Doc? How about we leave books behind about salvation, and in these books we say, now during the tribulation you're back under the law, you got to live it, you got to hold out till the end.
The only thing about the tribulation period is it is God finishing the 70th week.
It is.
And that's Old Testament economy, but that doesn't mean that since Christ fulfilled what redemption on Calvary's cross, they're not going back to the Old Testament way of sacrifices.
Right. Now, you know, the Jews will with the temple, but them guys, that when people start getting saved, they're going to flee from that. In fact, they're going to be chased out of there.
Yeah. Well, by the middle of the tribulation, they won't have a temple to go to anyway.
Yeah, they're going to be chased out of there, but they're going to run for their lives.
Yes.
The 144,000 just trusted the Messiah, Christ. And see, you and I understand that in the Old Testament, you're still saved by grace.
Oh.
There's nobody that isn't going. There's no one going to heaven that
go all
didn't
the way back
trust
to get
Christ.
That's how you got on the ark, was by grace.
Yeah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, before we jump into this, Doc, and we're going to jump into this, We got a meeting coming up in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, July 30th through August 2nd, yes. Sunday through Wednesday. You're going to be doing your walk through time. We've got people all over the country coming, Doc. This is almost like becoming a big conference. And there's people flying in from Colorado. I've got people coming from Arkansas, Chicago. Another one just contacted me, and I forget. He's in the South somewhere, but I can't remember which state.
Well, I'm honored that folks would want to come, and I appreciate that. And
Pastor Jordan is hosting it. He says he's got churches all over the area that are coming. And we're going to record your six sessions.
I'm sure it's been recorded in the 12 years that I've done it in churches, but this will be the first time it's done professionally and then professionally edited for this project.
So we want to invite you, if I don't know where you're at. By the way, Shepherdsville is 15 minutes or less from the Louisville airport. Mm-hmm. So we got several people flying in. So if you're thinking of coming and you're going to fly, you're just a hop, skip, and a jump up the road.
Yep.
The Sleep Inn is offering the church a discount. So if you're coming in and you're gonna stay in a hotel, you don't have to stay in a sleep in. But Lighthouse Baptist Church is hosting this, and they have a discount set up at the Sleep Inn right there in Shepherdsville, minutes from the church. And make sure when you call to reserve a room, make sure you tell them this is for the Lighthouse Baptist Church conference, and they'll give you a pretty good discount. So. We've got several people. We're hoping that we can rub shoulders with you, with all of you that come. And Doc, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Yes. We're also doing. This is going to be Sunday at 10 in the morning, 11 and 7, mm-hmm. plus 6 p.m. Sunday night. We're doing a live TV show. Right there, live at the church with the audience there, everyone that wants to come. And we're even going to pan the audience with the camera and get them on television there. We're going to have a good time. We're going to interview Brother Jordan, the pastor, about what it's like to pastor in these Laodicean times. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to come. We're going to start at 7 for your sessions. Mm-hmm. But if folks want to come early, we're going to have a question and answer from 6 to 6:45. Yes. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Usually, that's a very interesting and informative and helpful time.
Yeah. So there's a lot packed into this, so it won't be a waste of people's money if they want to come to this. This will be a full-blown conference.
And we'll have all of our book tables and all of our materials. And I'll have a table set up with all kinds of archaeological discoveries, and you'll get to handle some bones and all this kind of stuff. Yes.
And them liquor bottles from Amazing Grace. You got the story of that. That's an interesting story. So, okay, well, folks, that's coming right up. Let us know. We'd love to know if you're coming. And so contact us. And if you need any help with, figuring out the hotel or anything like that, just call us or email us. Either one, contact us. We'd love to help you with that. Thank you to everybody who supports us, our partners.
Yes.
And the money came in. We're on for another 3 months, but keep it coming. We need Amen. Your help. We're on the air because of the gifts of God's people. And Doc and I don't get a salary here. The money that comes in, we every 3 months we barely make it, Doc. Yeah. And we appreciate everybody. Some of our supporters are coming to the meeting, Doc. I'm looking forward. You haven't talked to some of these folks that like I get to talk to, and I want to make sure that you meet some of these folks that are some of our givers here. And all right, so let's jump in. I got a brand new book, Doc. In fact, at the time of the airing of this show, it's probably. They're probably putting them in boxes right now, getting ready to ship them to my house. And but we have a pre-order on the website right there at Prophecy in the Spotlight. You can pre-order the book, and what you'll get 5 books for $50 and free shipping. That's a steal. It's an 80-page book. It's going to be a very, very helpful book. Yes. There's stuff in this book you've never seen anybody talk about it like I'm going to in the book. And I say that humbly because I'm no rocket scientist. I'm no great theologian. I try to find ways, Doc, to talk about stuff on the bottom shelf.
Yes, where people can understand.
I'm at.
Yeah.
And I don't use big six-syllable words. I can't even say those words.
Six-cylinder
words. And folks that have read my book say, no, I'm just a common guy.
I call it a bread and butter.
Yeah. And I tend to write like I'm standing behind a pulpit preaching to somebody or teaching a lesson, and that comes out in your book there. Let me read a little bit about the back cover of the book. It's called Redemption Through the Ages, Salvation from Genesis to Revelation. And Doc and I believe salvation has never changed. The door to heaven, the way to heaven has never changed. It's the same way to heaven today as it was when Adam was here and Moses and Samuel and David. Mm-hmm. Everyone that goes to heaven will go to heaven because they've trusted in the Messiah. All right, let me read a little bit of the introduction here, and then we'll give you some tidbits from the book. 80 pages. The Bible says in the final days, a great apostasy is going to infect God's people. We are in that time right now. If you don't think so, you're not paying attention. One of the areas under attack is the area of redemption. And that's that saying that you always have, Doc, is it's all about redemption. And by the way, I put you in the book, Doc. Not only is there a confusion about salvation, but a confusion about what we call eternal security. And Doc, I believe
it all goes hand in hand.
I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. There's no I'm saved and then I get lost again next week. That's not possible.
No.
I got eternal life when I got saved.
That's it.
And I have several sections of the book where I nail this down, this thing about salvation is for eternity. Listen, I didn't quit sinning to get saved.
No.
I got saved because I am a sinner. I needed a Savior. Quitting sinning didn't save me.
And if we, as John wrote in 3 John, he said, or in 1 John, he said, if we say we're without sin, we make God a liar.
That's right.
A liar.
Yeah.
The truth's not in us.
Yeah.
That's why he made a way for us to deal with sin even in our lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They talk about Old Testament salvation is different. They try to, the dispensational people say that they were saved. David was saved. They had to keep the law and all this. But I understand the law was there, ceremonial law, and they were commanded to keep those things. But that had nothing to do with them going to heaven.
No.
That had everything to do with helping them understand what was coming, the sin debt that was going to be paid for them.
Well, Paul said it was a schoolmaster to bring us to
exactly
Christ.
Right. And that's Galatians. Yes. He says the law was a schoolmaster.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a teacher to show me that I'm lost, to bring us to Christ. And the law came to get us lost. And the law was there to show us when we were crooked.
We were already a violation. We were already sinners. But once the law was given, we realized we are.
Yeah.
And there's no escaping it.
Yep. At this late hour in history, false teaching has become more than just confusion. It has become a cloud of deception that has led to outright apostasy that the Bible calls the falling away. In the book, I shed some needed light on this subject, and I really believe that if folks are on the fence about this, or if some of our viewers have been taught wrong, or maybe they don't understand this book will help them.
I think it will, and I think the bottom line, Dan, and I don't know, I'm sure you covered in your book, but what does the word dispensation mean?
I think that would
clear a whole lot of it up.
Well, that's in here, page 11 and 12. I talk about the era of dispensational salvation. Let me read a little bit of this for the viewers there. No matter, by the way, I want to give you a quote from my former pastor, who's now up there with the Lord. James West made this statement. He and I talked on the phone all the time, and we talked about this subject many times. And he said this to me one time on the phone: no matter where you turn in the Bible, you need a lamb and you need blood. No matter where you are, Old Testament, Adam, Old Testament, under the law, New Testament, Peter's day, Paul's day.
I think Adam and Eve was probably glad to see it.
Yeah. A lamb was killed by God himself, and blood was shed, and skins were placed upon them as a type of their...
And it's a picture of The innocent blood shed for the guilty sin to provide the covering between you and God.
Yep. No, many today have been taught the error, what I call the error, of dispensational salvation. This teaching claims that the way to heaven in the Old Testament is different than the way to heaven in the church age. And I mentioned a preacher named Peter Ruckman, and he's got some good stuff. But he's one of the, he's a guy. And
he had some great insight prophetically.
Yep, and he was good on the King James Bible issue.
Yes, very good.
And I think we owe him a debt for that. But I disagreed strongly with him on his dispensational salvation beliefs. Peter Ruckman made the statement, and I've heard him say it, that there's as many as 8 ways to heaven in the Bible, depending on where you're born. Old Testament, he believed that John the Baptist had a way to heaven. Peter comes along. Peter has a different way to heaven. Paul comes along, and there's another way to heaven.
What was it that Jesus said something about being a door?
Yeah, I am the door.
I think he said he was the door. Yep. No man entereth by me.
Yep, and see, these, what he's saying is these different ages here. The book of Acts
but
was split up. And
it's because they don't understand, I believe, Dan, what the word dispensation really means.
Yep. And so in I have a section here called Dispensation Confrontation. And that's where I define this word, and I give all 4 verses that the word is used. The word dispensation is only used 4 times in the entire Bible, never in the Old Testament, only the New Testament. 4 times the word is used, and the definition is in the word. The word dispensation, let me just read it here, is only used 4 times in the entire Bible. It is misunderstood and not rightly defined by those who propagate what we call dispensationalism. That word's not in the Bible.
Right.
That's a made-up word.
Right.
Dispensationalism is the belief that dispensation means what they say it means, different ages of history where God saved people differently. That's not what it means at all. None of the passages that in the Bible, all 4 of them, none of them teach a dispensational salvation or even anything remotely similar to salvation. The first one, in fact, the first usage of the word dispensation is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Paul says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Now, dispensation, what does it mean? It simply means to dispense.
That's exactly what he said. I've been given the responsibility to dispense the truth.
That's right. And that's what the gospel is. I have a section in the book that's going to be shocking to even to my Baptist brethren out there, my Baptist preacher brethren. Mm. We've all been taught wrong about this thing about the gospel. And this is why I think that the Peter Ruckman and others have gotten off base on this is because they believe the gospel means death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. And we all were taught, I was taught that in Bible college. And I believe that until probably the year 1999 is when I got a different understanding of this. The word gospel means no such thing. The word gospel is used 98 times in the Bible, in 98 verses, and it's 104 times the word gospel. If you try to stick in death, burial, and resurrection, you'll be pulling your hair out.
It would change the whole context.
It means no such thing.
No.
The word gospel comes from 2 words, and the words are this, gos and spell. God spell, God's spelling, God's word.
Yes.
That's exactly what the word gospel means.
Well, that's why Abraham, it said it was accounted unto him to righteousness. What was it that he did? He just believed what God said
that's
to him.
That's right. And that's faith.
God's word.
Yeah. And God's word said, you're a sinner. You're going to hell.
Yep.
You need a Savior. A Messiah is going to come, Abraham, in the future. A Messiah is going to come and pay your sin debt. He believed God about that, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
That's right.
And when he was getting ready to kill his son Isaac, remember the story, Genesis 22? You don't see it in Genesis 22, but you see in Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
The other side of that story is Abraham believed that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead
because
as
God
a
had
figure.
Given him a promise, and he believed God's going to keep his promise.
Abraham really believed that his son was going to die.
Yeah.
God was going to bring him back
but
to life.
He was going to have to come back to life because God wasn't going to lie.
And it says in Hebrews 11, as a figure of the one to come. Now tell me that Abraham didn't understand more than we think he did.
Yes. Well, what we need to understand, Dan, is is if God put all of this information about, we'd have to have a tractor trailer bring our Bible with us.
Yep. And so, gospel, God's word. You know, the Bible says where to preach the gospel. You know, I bet you your church, your son doesn't preach a salvation message every service, does he? I mean, we all add it in there, of course, and we give an invitation.
Give an invitation.
Listen, the pastor's preaching to saved people, not lost people. And
unless it's an outright evangelistic meeting of some kind.
Yeah. Yes. But salvation's part of the gospel. And when you go to 1 Corinthians 15, he died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose. See, they say that that's the gospel because it's mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 15. He says, I declare unto you the gospel. And then he goes through the Christ died, he rose, he was buried, he rose.
But it was all according
to the scripture, according to the word of God.
Yes.
So when he said, I declare unto you the gospel, somehow we've been taught that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. No, that's part of the gospel because that's part of the word of God.
It's part of your believing.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of other aspects to it. It's the reliance upon this, and it's the putting your full faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary's cross. Yep. And all of that comes by believing because that's what the Bible said.
Yep.
It's what God said.
Yep. So if you take the word gospel throughout the Bible and you make it to mean the death, burial, resurrection, those verses mean no. Paul even talks about according to my gospel. Paul's death burial? No. He's talking about the word of God that he had there.
That he had.
It means the word of God throughout the Bible. All 104 times that it's used, it means God's word. And that's one of the things that's life-changing. When you understand that, next time you read your Bible, that'll pop out.
But see, that goes back to following your rules of interpretation.
Yep, the seven laws of Bible study.
And letting the Bible be its own dictionary.
Yep. And I use that in this little book here. So four times dispensation, and the word dispensation, the root word is dispense.
So
don't they dispense medicine at the clinic? They dispense. What do? They deal it out. They give it out. That's what the word dispensation means.
But different eras of time have had different responsible parties for dispensing.
Yep.
God's word.
Yeah, and God dealt with differently. There was an age of the kings, there's the age of the judges.
Oh, yeah.
But salvation was always the same. Man is a sinner. Man needs a Savior.
Because God's always the same. He changes not.
Yeah. And so,
why, if a God who changes not would have to change his mind throughout of time?
Paul was entrusted with the dispensing of the word of God, which is the gospel. And I have a section in the book where I talk about the word gospel. That's worth the whole book, just that right there. So dispensation, four times it's used, never talking about different ways to heaven.
Right.
Not even close. And so I give Webster's definition here, Webster's 1828, distribution, the act of dealing out. Exactly right. Webster understood what it meant to deal out God, to distribution. By the way, the word gospel, we've come to believe the word gospel is good news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it means either. See, what they've done, they've took, remember, God's word. The two Anglo-Saxon words there for gospel is gos and spell, God's word. They changed God to good, and they changed spelling or words to news. Mm-hmm. We know most of the Bible is bad news, not good news. There's good news in there, thank the Lord, but there's a lot of bad news in it. The Bible's not good news. The Bible's God's word.
Right.
So we've watered it down today.
And so subtly these things can happen to really good people.
Yeah.
Yes. With good intentions. Yes.
So you're looking at the table of contents, and I know you want to get me in trouble here.
Uh-huh. Well, what do they think redemption during the tribulation is going to be?
What chapter are you in there?
Oh, let's see. That's
what page
49.
Oh, you skipped over 49. That's, here we go.
Well, we kind of covered a couple of these already.
Yeah, we did. I do have these couple of illustrations if we get to them, but let me turn to 49 here and see what it is you're at. What was your question again?
Redemption during the tribulation.
Oh, redemption during the tribulation. Here we go. I got Revelation 14:6 here. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Now, did a light just come on?
Everlasting,
we just talked.
Everlasting God's word?
That's right. It's the everlasting word of God. An angel brings the word of God down. Yep. And these, see, everyone says, almost every prophecy preacher out there that I've ever heard believes that an angel is going to preach the gospel. In other words, the way to heaven.
Uh-huh.
That's what people think it means.
Yeah.
They're wrong about gospel, and they're wrong about what's happening here.
Right.
What does this angel do? He brings to them something that's everlasting.
Yeah.
The gospel, the word of God.
Yeah.
He brings it, and these guys are going to preach that. Angels have never preached salvation.
Right.
We learned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When Cornelius wanted to be saved, how come the angel didn't have him bow his head? And he said, go get Peter. He'll tell you what to do. Because angels are not saved.
Because somebody that's experienced it can relate it.
Yeah, that's right. God chose those of us who are redeemed.
Yes.
We understand it.
Well, this redemption is for those of us living in the realm of time and creation, and an angel is outside of both.
And so this everlasting gospel means that the Bible is the same in the tribulation as ever was.
Yes.
Let me give just one of these illustrations, Doc, before we run out of time.
Yeah, time's about out.
Because these are illustrations that I thought on for weeks and weeks and weeks. These illustrations are going to shine a light on this thing about the tribulation and about a door opening and a door closing. In other words, if the dispensational people are right, a door open to a new way to heaven and a door closed to the old way to heaven,
mm-hmm.
What about the people that are on the other side of the door that just closed? What happens to them? They now are no longer saved. Now they've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again.
They got to go to a new way.
Where before they were keeping Moses' law. Now, mm-hmm. I don't believe Moses' law saved anybody, but that's what the dispensational guy believes. He believes the people had to keep the law. There was no eternal security. They had to hold out and live right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that door shut, and that's no longer the way to heaven, and now we're under grace. But these people haven't trusted the Messiah. They're keeping the law. So what happens to them?
Okay.
They're lost. So let me just quickly read this little. If the dispensational salvation crowd is right, imagine this chilling scenario. You are living in the year 30 AD. You have been faithful to keep the law of Moses and abide by all the ceremonial law. You are on your deathbed, however, with just a few hours to live. Suddenly, there in the clinic, the clinic shakes, an earthquake just happened. You don't know what's going on, but a few miles away, the veil in the temple was just rent in two because Jesus just died, and the veil in the temple is rent in two. The Old Testament is over, and now we're in the age of grace, as they call it. The age of grace is ushered in. You have, but 10 minutes later, without knowing that the way to heaven just changed, you die. The New Testament has begun. You died without Christ. You have just awakened in hell, and there is no hope for you.
That's a good scenario, and that didn't happen.
That's what's wrong with this.
Yes.
These people haven't thought this through.
That's right.
There'd be a door closing and a door opening, and there'd be a whole bunch of people suddenly became lost.
And how about all the people between the time they finally discovered what had happened there?
Yeah. And I have several other illustrations as well. Folks, go to the website, get that book, pre-order it. You won't have to wait long. There's a pre-order button there right there on the website. I think this book, it'll be life-changing. Your pastor needs this book. Your friends need this book. Your Sunday school teacher needs this book. All right. Well, thanks for watching and listening in today. We'll see you next time. But until then, keep your eyes on them skies.